to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, October 13th, 2019, by Eric Williams.
Almost exactly a month, Nancy and Rad and Jean and Rick and Jane and I and others are going to the Holy Land. Last time, 3 years ago, one of my favorite places that we visited was a tiny little village in the middle of nowhere in the West Bank, Palestinian territory, a little village called Burkin. And in this town, we visited an ancient Orthodox church that was built in the, 10th century. And it was built into a cave, and the cave is, by tradition, the place where the 10 lepers lived from today's story. So whenever I hear this story, I'm immediately brought back to that village and to that church and to that very special place. The cave was a water cistern where they would keep water during the dry months, and it was out of the way, and it's where the lepers could be cut off from all human contact. Their life, once they had leprosy or whatever the skin disease was that was called leprosy then, meant that they could not have contact with any other human being. So these 10 lived in utter isolation in this cave in the middle of nowhere. Well, in today's story, Jesus meets them. They don't come too close. They keep their distance as they are commanded to do. They could be put to death if they came too close. And Jesus heals them. He sends them to the priests. The priests are the only ones who can certify, because there were no medical doctors. It was the priests who could certify that their skin was clean and that they were healed from this skin disease. They're all healed, but one turns back. The other 9 are apparently so excited to get back to their lives, they just take off back to their villages and their resuming their normal lives, and they don't give a second thought to the amazing thing that has just happened. But one of them turns back and gives thanks. I remember my dad telling me, my dad used to sit down every night and write notes to people. He was a total extrovert. He'd sit down, his holy Bible, in a way, was his address book. Well thumbed through, he had written down all the names and addresses and phone numbers of all his friends and relatives from around the world, and he would just sit down after dinner and call people. I'm sure they wondered, why is he calling? But he wanted to make the connection. He would write personal notes to people every single day, and he said the proportion was always the same for years and years. For every 10 notes that he wrote, guess how many he got back? 1. 10% seems to be the right number, and so it was with these lepers. 1 returned to give thanks. And Jesus says to him, isn't it amazing that the only one who turned back was this foreigner, this Samaritan? The others went back to their homes. Presumably they were Jews and lived nearby, and they were out of there. But this guy took the time to say thank you. And because of that, Jesus says, go in peace, your faith has made you well. Now, for a long time, I wondered, did this mean that the other 9 got their leprosy back? I don't think so. I think what Jesus was doing was making a very important distinction between the physical healing of the leprosy, which all 10 received, and the deeper healing that this Samaritan received. A spiritual healing. He was made well, not just in terms of his skin, but in terms of his heart and his soul. And that deeper healing was connected to his faith in Jesus and his gratitude. Faith and gratitude. These are the pillars upon which stand the deepest healing that we can receive. We are all of us going to get sick and eventually die. I'm sorry to break it to you. No one gets out of this life alive. It's going to happen. We try to deny it. We try to stave it off as long as possible. We eat well. We exercise. We take the right medications. We do our best. But in the end, we're not going to make it. I'm sorry to give you the bad news. But the really good news is that if our lives are based on faith and gratitude, then God has something even more remarkable for us. It is hard to cling to that. It is hard to cling to that knowledge because our lives, like those nine lepers, are mostly concerned with the day-to-day concerns of life. We're on this roller coaster of ups and downs, of good things and bad things, of trials and tribulations, and our whole focus tends to go towards that. But every once in a while, sometimes we get the grace to see things a little more deeply. Think about Jeremiah. In last week's lesson, he was predicting the end of everything. Oh, you're all going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. And then it happened. And suddenly, bad news Jeremiah becomes good news Jeremiah. The worst has happened. You've been sent away into Babylon as exiles, and your world is completely shattered. Everything that you feared has come true. The worst is here. You should probably just throw yourselves in the river, right? And he says, no. Now that you're in exile, now live with faith and gratitude. And they're like, what? He says, yes, build homes, get married, have children, live your lives in Babylon, but live with unshakable faith in God and gratitude for the life that you actually have. Sometimes our lives do not turn out the way we expected. Sometimes things don't go the way we wanted or thought they should, but still have faith and gratitude. Sometimes you're living with leprosy in a cave in the middle of nowhere, and Jesus says, don't forget faith and gratitude. Sometimes you are sent away into exile, faith and gratitude. Sometimes the worst happens. Have faith and gratitude. We are given this amazing gift by God, the gift of a relationship that transforms and completely overcomes all of the earthly trials and tribulations that we have. It's part of one of the reasons that I love fall stewardship season so much, because stewardship season is not about new and creative ways to extract you from your money. It's not about holy fundraising. I mean, it is. We have our budgets. We have our needs, of course. Mary could tell you, our stewardship chair, all about the needs of our budget and so forth. But what stewardship at its deepest is really about is about establishing our lives not on the ups and downs of the stock market, not on the ups and downs of our jobs, not on the ups and downs of our physical health, but on the pillars of faith and gratitude. And so as I think about that beautiful little church in Burkina that hopefully we're going to see in about a month, as I think about the 10 lepers and especially that Samaritan who had the insight and the faith and that whatever it is inside him that said, before I go back to my life, I've got to say thank you. I want us to have that sense as we come to church. I think that's why we come to church. We come to church, maybe it's for the coffee. I don't know, we have okay coffee. But I think really it's because we feel this yearning to remind ourselves, to root ourselves in those two critical things in our spiritual life, faith in God, to renew that faith through hearing God's word, through confessing the Nicene Creed, through receiving the sacrament, and then saying thank you. Did you know that the word Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, it really means the holy thank you. Eucharist is thanksgiving. It's just a fancy Greek way of saying thanksgiving. We come to church more than anything else to just approach God and say thank you. And God, through Jesus, through the scriptures, through the sacrament, through the life of this community, says to you each and every week, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Physically well, we hope, but more importantly, spiritually well, because your lives are established on the rock that is Jesus Christ.